Well, good morning. In about 4 days, it's Thanksgiving. You excited? I mean, for most of us, it means no work. And it means no school if you're a student. Thanksgiving is a lot of fun. It's about family. It's about football. And it's about food. Lots of food, right? Thanksgiving, I think, is a wonderful time because it's a time not only are you supposed to eat, it's a time when you're expected to eat, right? And in fact, you're expected to eat a lot. This is a great old picture, Thanksgiving meal. It's a, you know, Thanksgiving's a unique time in America. It's a time where stuffing yourself is sanctified, isn't it? It's a time where you can gorge guilt-free. It's a time when gluttony is not a sin. It's a time where your conscience need not concern you when you sit down to eat. You just let it go and you just stuff. Now, I'm going to read you a fun little poem, and perhaps you've heard it before, but it kind of illustrates this notion of Thanksgiving and food. "'Twas the night of Thanksgiving, but I just couldn't sleep. I tried counting backwards, I tried counting sheep. The leftovers beckoned, the dark meat and white, but I fought the temptation with all of my might. Tossing and turning with anticipation, the thought of a snack became infatuation. So I raced to the kitchen, flung open the door, and gazed at the fridge full of goodies galore. I gobbled up turkey and buttered potatoes, pickles and carrots and beans and tomatoes. I found myself swelling so plump and so round till all of a sudden I rose off the ground. I crashed through the ceiling, floating into the sky with a mouthful of pudding and a handful of pie. But I managed to yell as I soared past the trees, 'Happy eating to all! Pass the cranberries, please.' May your stuffing be tasty, may your turkey be plump. May your potatoes and gravy have nary a lump. May your yams be delicious, may your peas take the prize, and may your Thanksgiving dinner stay off of your thighs." Now, Thanksgiving has a fun side, it has a food side, but it also has a serious side too, doesn't it? And the serious side is the fact that we're supposed to be thankful at Thanksgiving. We need to be grateful for what we have. And we have so much, don't we? Now today I want to talk about being thankful and grateful. And we're going to look at a passage I doubt any of you will ever have considered for Thanksgiving or have ever heard a sermon from and probably never will again. An unusual passage for Thanksgiving. But what we're going to see here today is the fact that God wants our thanks. God wants our gratitude. Conversely, we need to give thanks. We need to express gratitude. See, God wants it. We actually need to express our gratitude. If we don't express our gratitude like we should, it costs us a lot. We might not realize it up front, but it's costly not to be grateful. We need it. God wants it. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this morning, and we are grateful for this time we have together. We have so much to be grateful for. We are a country and a county that is blessed. We are a blessed people, spiritually, physically. Financially, we thank you and we ask for just a time where we could look at your word together and be encouraged to be grateful in Christ's name. Amen. Why is it so important to be grateful? Why is it so important to be thankful? And by the way, not just at Thanksgiving. Well, we're going to look in Romans. And again, this is a passage that you're probably not used to for Thanksgiving. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. And I didn't make a mistake. Romans chapter 1. Beginning with, oh my goodness, verse 18. Romans 1:18 and following is not a typical passage for Thanksgiving. This is an unholiday passage. This is an unhappy passage. But I think it nails Thanksgiving. If you look with me at verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." God is mad. Notice his present tense. It's not talking about eschatological wrath. It's not talking about the end times. It's talking about right here now. God's wrath is being expressed. He is upset. The question is what's upsetting God? Well, the verse says, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's the problem. Now, the question is what is it that they're suppressing? Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. You have to understand, from Paul's standpoint here in Romans 1, he views reality, he views the cosmos, he views everything as a IMAX. 24/7, we are in an IMAX theater. And what we look at is we see the handiwork of God, and we realize His perfection, His holiness, His greatness, His love for beauty. You look out and you can see things like that. This is what Paul's talking about. You can look out and see things like this. They exist. And as you look at things like that, it should make you go, oh my goodness, do I have something to thank God for? When I see images like this, it should take my breath away. In fact, some of us pay a lot of money just to get to a place like that, to have our breath taken away. I mean, who makes this type of stuff? It's got to be somebody incredible. It's got to be somebody perfect. It's got to be somebody holy. It's got to be somebody omnipotent to pull stuff like this together. My goodness. That's what Paul means here. The things that God has made evident to them through His eternal power, divine nature, they've been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. Just go out and sit and look. Now, this is a favorite thing to do in Kansas where I'm heading this week. You just sit out and watch the storms. You talk about seeing the power of God, just sit out and watch a storm. And of course, we were watching it to beware for tornadoes, but the heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Everybody sees it. Unfortunately, a lot of people suppress it. They see God's glory, but they suppress it in unrighteousness, in dishonesty. If John were said, he'd probably say something like, men love darkness. They love the dishonesty. God has created an immensely beautiful creation, and it's supposed to evoke gratitude and thankfulness in us. Unfortunately, many people don't give thanks. And as a result, this upsets God. When people blow off His awesome creation and they don't give thanks to God, this bothers Him to the point where His wrath is aroused. The question, can you do this and I do this? We know. I mean, if you understand, the book of Romans is a treatise on the righteousness of God. And we understand in Romans 1, he's talking to the unbeliever who have neither the Old Testament or the New Testament. But we know perfectly well the next chapter he's going to start talking. He's going to tell us about the Jews. And guess what? The Jews didn't respond too well either, did they? It doesn't matter who you are. Anybody can be ungrateful. The Jews were ungrateful for all the wonderful things God had given them. He'd taken them through the Red Sea. He gave them the law, and they forget Him. Whether you're a Jew or a Christian or whatever, you need to be grateful and thankful for what God has done and how He has blessed you and placed you on this beautiful planet. God dislikes ingratitude. In fact, all of us do, don't we? Shakespeare, in his play, Twelfth Night, there's a line, I hate ingratitude more in a man than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, or any taint of vice. A favorite tragedy he wrote was King Lear, and King Lear says of his daughter Cordelia, a line we've all heard, sharper than a serpent's tooth is a thankless child. All the love and attention you pour in money, you pour into children. And if they aren't grateful, oh, that's like a serpent's tooth, a poison tooth. Ever do somebody a big favor and they don't show any gratitude towards you? When Hurricane Katrina hit up in Huntsville, we had 250 people in our church gymnasium. And we had 1,000 next door at the great big, it's not a campground, but it's kind of a mixture of fairgrounds and livestock show. Well, they had 1,000 people over there, but they were sending them to our church for showers. So we had 1,300 people revolving through our church for showers. And a whole bunch of us out there serving them food and helping them. And you know, some people were real grateful, saying thank you. We even got a few letters from people. But you know, some people, their attitude was like, well, you owe me. You're a church, aren't you? Take care of me. It's real easy to do things for people who are grateful and thankful. It's really tough if there's absolutely no gratitude. In fact, almost a sense of entitlement. God deserves to be thanked. God deserves our gratitude because of what he's done for us, what he's created, for Christ dying for our sin, all the things he's done for us. He deserves so much. Now, I want you to note something that our passage warns about the consequences. What are the consequences if I'm not grateful? Why is it that I need to be grateful? Well, let's look on what the passage says. It says they didn't give thanks. Verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him God as God or give thanks. See, this is a Thanksgiving passage. They didn't give thanks, but they became futile in their speculation and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of the form of corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. See, what happens is the people did not give thanks to God for creation. In fact, instead of worshiping God, these people in the past, they glorified critters as creators. And they started worshiping four-footed creatures. Of course, today we don't buy into that nonsense. What we do is we say that critters over millions of years became citizens. That's what we realize today. That's what ingratitude does for us today. In essence, what the text is telling us is this, is the people weren't thankful to God, and so their theology got all messed up. It starts with being thankful to God. In essence, not thanking God for all the things he's done messes with your mind. It makes you have odd theology and bad views. In fact, I came up with a little quip here. Bad thanking leads to bad thinking. Bad thanking leads to bad thinking. Let me show you an image here. Three guys here. The one at the far left is a fellow by the name of René Descartes. 17th century philosopher. He was the father, really, of modern rationalistic philosophy. The launching pad for his philosophy was a statement he made that's become famous. I think, therefore I am. I think, and that was his start. That's the launching pad for his philosophy. Everything built off of that. This isn't a dream. There really is a universe. How do I know? I think. Well, since I'm thinking, I am. And then he starts from there and he starts building his philosophy. You know what Paul would say? I think, therefore I am. I think, therefore I am. And that's what he starts. In the book of Romans, it starts right out with the unbeliever. The unbeliever, he looks up, he sees all this, and as he looks at everything, he has a choice. He can either thank God, and then there'll be more insight, or he can't thank God. He turns away from God, and then what happens? He becomes darkened in his thinking. His theology becomes worse. Ingratitude leads to messing with your theology and messing your mind up. And then the next thing you know, you're worshiping critters and doing all sorts of crazy theological things. Paul would say, I thank, therefore I am. And that was the launching pad for his theology. Starts with God. You better respond to him right or you're all messed up. Below is a fellow, a Roman orator by the name of Cicero. Cicero, I think, would have agreed with Paul. He said this, gratitude is not only the greatest of all virtues. Gratitude is also the parent of all the others. Starts with gratitude. Your degree of gratitude, your degree of thankfulness shapes how you see the world. It shapes your worldview. It shapes your view of reality. And this is why I say God wants our gratitude, but you need to be grateful. You need to be a grateful, thankful person because that's going to shape the way you view everything. All created beings must be grateful. We all know perfectly well why Satan fell. The most beautiful of creation, who sang with the morning star. Why did he fall? He wasn't grateful. I'm not satisfied being here. I need to be up there with you, God. I'm not grateful for this position. Every created being needs to be grateful and thankful to God, or it messes with their mind and what's happened to Satan's theology. Oh, my goodness. By the way, believers can fall prey to this real easily. We have a whole movement in our country that's fallen to this. I call it prosperity preachers, prosperity theology. Because what's the essence of prosperity theology? You don't need to be grateful for what you have. You're entitled to more. God wants to give you more. You need more. You deserve more. You're a child of God. You should be rich and healthy. Now, is that based on gratitude? I don't think so. Unfortunately, it preaches. This is why, folks, there's so many passages in the Bible about being grateful and being thankful. We're just going to look at a few. Hebrews 12:28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. And so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will for you in Christ Jesus. You know what God's will for you in your life is? Well, I need to buy this car. No, he's not really that concerned about which car you buy, where you live, or what job you have. Are you being thankful? That's the will of God. Ephesians 5:4, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. The book of Colossians, so then, just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Or Colossians 3:16, let the message of Christ dwell within you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude. And folks, these are all over the place. The book of Philippians is Paul saying over and over, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. And where's Paul at? In prison. He's able to be grateful there, isn't he? By the way, do you realize that gratitude and thankfulness are a preoccupation of the angelics? We know this because we can thumb ahead to the book of Revelation. Let's just look ahead to some verses in Revelation. Every time we see the angels, whenever we see these elders together before the Lord, guess what? It's the same thing. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. Thanks to Him who sits on the throne. Chapter 7, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. They're not going to get tired of it. They are created beings and they must, for their own sake, continually give thanks to God. Satan quit one day. And you and I forever will be thanking God. Chapter 11, they fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. If you look ahead in Revelation, the preoccupation in heaven is giving thanks and showing gratitude to God. It will never change. It will be forever. Why? Because you need it. You're a created being. You have to respond to a holy, perfect God with continual gratitude. And you will do it for eternity, folks. And for eternity, He will enjoy it. He never gets tired of it. He wants it. You need it. Now, we finished the book of Kings not long ago. And we saw what happened to a nation, two nations, actually, Judah in the south, and in the north, Israel. What happened when those two nations lost their gratitude and their thankfulness to God? You know what's interesting is Solomon, hundreds of years before, predicted what would happen. Did I say Solomon? What I meant was Moses. Let's look ahead here and see what he says. This is back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, hundreds and hundreds of years before the fall. He warned this: when the Lord your God brings you out of the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things you didn't provide, wells you didn't dig, vineyards and olive groves that you didn't plant. Because see, they're going to come in, take the land from the Canaanites. Then, when you eat and are satisfied, well, it kind of sounds like us. When you're eating that, be careful that you don't forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Don't follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you. Of course, what happened when time did go on? They did forget God. In fact, when we were in the book of Kings, we saw different times, like with Hezekiah. There's three times of the year all the guys are supposed to march up to Jerusalem for feasts to recognize what the Lord did. And Hezekiah, it says, he started to have a Passover. They hadn't had a Passover in years. They weren't even offering, they didn't even celebrate Thanksgiving. They weren't celebrating any of the Lord's feasts. They were blowing them off. They weren't thankful for God. They weren't great. They weren't remembering the Red Sea. They were just enjoying the fat of the land. And Moses had said years before, you do that, and bad things are going to happen. And the law gave all sorts of specific warnings in chapter 20 about all the terrible things that would happen. Why? Because your thinking will become messed up. And you will start to follow the other gods. And what did we see in the book of Kings? They began to worship Baal. The Asherim, all sorts of horrible gods. Why? Because they didn't offer thanks to God. If you refuse to continually offer thanks and show gratitude towards God, after a while it messes your mind up. You start to lose grasp of reality, make all sorts of theological decisions that aren't very clear at all. And that's what this text is screaming. They didn't give thanks, and so what happens? God gave them over. Bad thinking creates bad thinking. And by the way, what happens after your mind gets messed up? Your morals get messed up. Let's continue to read on. Their foolish heart is dark in verse 21. Professing to wise, they become fools. They exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for an image of the form of corruptible man and the crawling. Therefore, God gave them over, verse 24, to the lusts of the hearts in impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored. See the progression? You don't thank God. Your theology becomes askewed, and your morality goes down the tubes. And then what he launches off onto the next several verses is talking about homosexuality. And then, if you look at verse 28, it says, and just as they did not see fit to honor God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which aren't proper. And there's a whole list of things that show up. Being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, greed. Well, what is greed? Well, greed's an expression. I don't feel grateful for what I have, and I want what you got. That's what envy is, right? Full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They're gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. There's that ungrateful child. Without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. What's the cause? How do you end up at that place? By not being grateful to God, which then messes up your thinking, which then messes up your morality. It's a clear digression. And by the way, that's why I think Memorial Day is so important, and why I think Veterans Day is real important. People gave their lives for this country. People fought and died for this country. Do not ever forget that. It's easy to be ungrateful for what's been sacrificed for you. See, gratitude keeps us from embracing its ugly opposite. The ugly opposite of gratitude, my friends, is entitlement. They are polar opposites. Gratitude says, thank you for what I have. Entitlement says, I deserve more. And our country's struggling with that one. Let me read something. This was written by a lady by the name of Janet Baresi, who is the Oklahoma State Department of Education state superintendent. She actually wrote this Thanksgiving of last year, but I came across it and I thought it was good. She said this: each fall, we parents begin thinking more and more about how we can teach our children to be grateful and thankful and less entitled. even though it's something we should be practicing more than just this time of the year, Thanksgiving season brings it to the forefront of our attention. Gratitude is one of those character tenets that must be nurtured for it to grow. If it's not nourished, entitlement will bloom in its place. Our oldest daughter had always been raised to be thankful and grateful, but teens, hormones, and a thankful, grateful heart somehow just didn't combine when she hit 14. When she turned 14, she began to take on the traits of entitlement. She demanded that she would only wear the popular and expensive brand clothing that was all the rage at the middle school. Well, Mom and Dad decided she needed reminding to be thankful and grateful for what she was receiving. When it came time for school clothes shopping, she was given the choice of what we provided, or she could go to the thrift store to purchase her school clothes. She was outraged. She had totally bought into the concept of entitlement, so she received good used clothes from the local thrift store to begin school that year. We also had her go through her closets and remove her clothes that no longer fit her. She boxed these up for charity, and then she worked at a local charity and food bank. She quickly realized that there were many, many people who were less fortunate than she was. Now, with 5 children of her own, she is an extremely grateful, humble, and even frugal parent. She and her husband are also instilling those character traits within their children. Folks, it's your job to raise those kids. If you don't instill in them an attitude of gratitude, entitlement will bloom, especially in Fort Bend County. Teach your kids how to write thank you cards. Teach your kids how to say thank you. If you're with your kids and some older person does something nice and your kid just looks at him like a cow staring out into a pasture, honey, you say thank you to Mr. Jones, okay? They need that. In fact, you can do a little test with your kids. How many times do they say thank you to you versus how many times do you hear them say I want? Now, if you're thinking, I can't even remember the last time they said thank you, you have some work to do as a parent. You know, my boys aren't here for this service. Every time we take them out for dinner, it doesn't matter if it's Niners, thank you, Dad, all 3 of them. They say, it's just going out to dinner, but we don't go out to dinner much, so they're real grateful. Your kids need to be able to say thank you. They need to be quick to say thank you. They need to be quick to show gratitude. And we need to be. Otherwise, we end up with a mindset that's happening in our country, which is our nation owes me. My parents owe me. My church owes me. And God owes me. And there are a lot of very bitter people that would say yes to every one of those. And you know where it starts? By not being thankful and grateful for what God has done. And what's on display on this IMAX 24/7? Because God doesn't understand that. And it ticks him off. And if you think that way, he'll just shove you along and your thinking will become worse and you will become immoral. That's a scary thought, isn't it? I hate to scare you on Thanksgiving, right? But it's what the Bible teaches. I don't know what else to do. I mean, Chris told you about DTS. That's what we're trained to do, is scare you to death. Right? Someone once said the toughest arithmetic is this. It's counting our blessings. You all remember that song, right? Count your blessings, name them one by one. When I grew up, we sang that every single Thanksgiving. Count your blessings. That's the toughest arithmetic there is. For me, it's far easier to count my bruisings. I mean, that's what's easy for me. It's easy for me to rethink, oh man, this year so-and-so did this and so-and-so did that, and why the elder board decided this, and why? Is it easy, right? It's easy to do that. Count your bruisings. But what we're supposed to do is count our blessings. Count our blessings. While on a short-term mission trip, Pastor Jack Hinton, he's from New Bern, North Carolina, and he was leading worship at a leper colony, of all places. A leper colony. He was on the island of Tobago, and there was a time for one more song, and he asked if anyone had a request. And a woman who had been facing away from him from the pulpit turned around to him. He said it was the most hideous face I had ever seen. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. The disease had destroyed her lips as well. She lifted a fingerless hand in the air and asked, "Can we sing Count Your Blessings?" Overcome with emotion, Hinton left the service. He was followed by a team member who walked up and said, "Jack, I guess you're never going to be able to sing that song again." He said, "Yes, I will, but I'll never sing it the same way." Folks, do you have any idea how blessed you are? Pick up a Voice of the Martyrs magazine and read it every month. You'll never whine again. It will change the way you think. We have so much to be thankful for. And most of all, thankful that Jesus Christ did not have an attitude of entitlement. That he did not sit on that throne in heaven next to the Most High and say, "You know what? They sure messed things up down there. Tough luck." Jesus did not have a sense of entitlement. He gave it all up, set his glory aside, took it on the chin, died for us on a cross because he couldn't stand to see the plight we were in. And that's why Christians, we need to be the most thankful people on the planet, because our future is guaranteed, folks. You don't have to worry about retirement for eternity. It's set. You know the most ungrateful thing that can be done on this planet? The most ungrateful thing that can be done is say, "I don't need Jesus who died for my sins. No thank you, please." That's the most ungrateful thing you can do. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, he wants to be your Savior. And you need to embrace him as a Savior, or else you will end up where Romans prescribes. You know, there's only 4 days till Thanksgiving. 4 days till this. And I have to confess, I really enjoy the eating. I love it. In fact, my motto is, "I eat, therefore I am." You know? But I really don't want that to be my motto for this Thanksgiving or yours. What I want to do is be truly grateful for all that we've been given. Not like a former British diplomat, Benjamin Disraeli, who once quipped this. He said, "You know, I have a very unusual sensation. If it's not indigestion, it must be gratitude." Well, if you can't differentiate between gratitude and indigestion this year, Thanksgiving, don't take the Maalox. Just let it linger. Allow yourself just to linger with an attitude of gratitude for all that you've got. Because God knows that's what you need. And that's what he wants. And he's the only one that's entitled to it, who has any entitlement. And that's your thanksgiving and gratitude forever. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we are thankful. We have been given so much. Please forgive us for how easy it is for us to whine or complain or feel where we're being ripped off or life isn't fair. It's unconscionable for us Christians here in Fort Bend County to ever really think like that. Help us to be grateful. Help us to be thankful. We thank you so much for this opportunity this week that we'll have with family and friends. Grant us safety as we travel about and see our loved ones. In Christ's name, amen.